Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks here in Branson, Missouri. We're looking at times and the signs of the times and the signs of the times that the Bible gives us, especially through his prophetic people, the Jews. Now, we're looking at Daniel chapter 2. What happened in Daniel? It's given to us as a book that's sealed unto the end times, unto the last days. But we are here in the latter days, in the end times, and so this thing is opening up to us. We can see when Daniel, the book of Daniel, was written, it was history before it happened, but now it's history after it happened. So what Daniel is a record of the times of the Gentiles. And if you go back to our Lord's prophecy in Luke 21, this will come ever more meaningful to us. Luke 21, as he's speaking that day in Luke 21, he prophesies to them that Jerusalem will be destroyed. And we are going to, in the near future, and we're going to pick it up with verse 20. When you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the destruction thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them which are in the midst of it depart out. For lo, these be the days of the vengeance of our God. And then verse 24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, when Jesus is speaking to them, it is about the year 30 AD. And they are under, they're in their land, they're in Israel, but they are not their own rulers. They don't have the sovereignty over their own nation. The sovereignty is the Roman Empire. And so he is foretelling that the Roman Empire is going to come in there and besiege them, really, because the Jews, in the natural thing that happened was the Jews had an uprising against the Romans. And the Romans were always having to put down their uprising. So the Romans started on a long march. And when you march the Roman soldiers, it takes a long time to get there. So Jesus is prophesying this in the year 30 A.D., and it will happen, it will come to pass in 70 A.D., that's 40 years later. 40 is a number of testing in the Bible, a number of trial. And 40 years later, he prophesies that Jerusalem will be destroyed as they know it. Verse 24, and they shall fall, the people of the Jews, shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So this is a prophecy concerning Jerusalem and the Jews being scattered. It says they shall be scattered out into all nations. The Old Testament tells us to the four corners of the earth. And Jerusalem, the capital city, shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And Jesus gives us a time period called the times of the Gentiles. He says that it begins, and it has it's a time thing, and it has an ending. It has a beginning, and it has an ending. And so the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Where do we find out where they're fulfilled? We're going to find out where they're fulfilled in the book of Daniel. Again, we're going to look out down here at verse 29, because Jesus, they had asked him, what is the sign of your setting up your earthly kingdom? And he spoke to them a parable. Watch the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. And the kingdom of God then nigh to being set up. So let's go back now to Daniel chapter 2 and see how it fits in with what Jesus said in Luke 21. We're going way back in time now, even from Jesus. We're going back to when the first temple was destroyed, almost 500 years before. And the first temple was destroyed, and the Jews were carried out into captivity by Babylon, the superpower of the day. They came in first and took away some of the smartest and brightest, and among them was Daniel and the three Hebrew children. They brought them over, and then a few years later, they went back and burned the temple and destroyed Jerusalem. But now, in the second year, this is Daniel chapter 2, it's not the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar's whole reign, but his reign over the Jews. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, he dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep broke from him. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had dreams, nightmares, you might say. And it so troubled him, the Hebrew says, that his spirit was pounded within him. He went to, He went to the astrologers, the magicians, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, and he said, I want you to tell me my dream and its meaning. They said, you tell us the dream, we'll give you the meaning. He knew they could make up anything if he told them the dream. He said, no, I want you to tell me the dream and the meaning. And if you don't do it, I'm going to cut you to little bitty pieces and I'm going to make your houses dunghills. They couldn't tell him, so he started out. The program was started out to kill them. And they came to Daniel and the three Hebrew children because they were among these astrologers and the people with the death sentence on him. And then Daniel said, oh, well, give us some time here and let's pick it up at Daniel chapter 2 and verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give them time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Think of the faith of Daniel. Then Daniel went to his house and made the things known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. He called a joint prayer meeting, united prayer. Daniel, young man Daniel, about 20, 22 or 23, and the three Hebrew children, they're going to prayer and they're asking God to reveal the secret. And then in that prayer meeting, or just after it in a night vision, God does reveal the secret to Daniel. Verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He praised God for giving him the answers. And he went later on then to the king. Verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers show to the king. But there's a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days, the end of days. So we look back to this to see now what shall be in these latter days before Jesus sets up his earthly kingdom. And so he told the king the dream. And here is the dream, verse 31. Thou, O king, saw and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before you, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breasts and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of, King James says brass, but actually the Hebrew is copper, his legs of iron, and his feet part of iron and part of clay. You saw till. Till is a time word. You saw till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and broke them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the copper, the silver, the gold, broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. There's that word summer. Jesus said, they said, Jesus, They didn't say Jesus. They never called him Jesus. They called him master or rabbi or teacher. They said, "When are you going to set up your kingdom?" He said, "You watch the fig tree." That's Israel, and they knew it. "And you watch the other nations," the nations of prophecy, right here in this chapter for one. "And when you see them filling their prophetic place, then you know that it's time for the kingdom to be set up." Now, he said, well, I'm going to read it to you exactly. This is Luke 21:29. "He spoke to them a parable, and behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth," that means into the prophetic places, "you see and know of your own selves, summer is nigh at hand." Here's summer. Summer. Summer, when this image is struck in its feet, when it disappears. This image stands for the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles began with Nebuchadnezzar's carrying them off into Babylon, and they end in the time of the Roman Empire revived, which I believe is the European Union. And the Bible, the dream, the interpretation says a stone hit the image, and it all came crumbling down like chaff of the summer threshing floor. They used to throw up the wheat, and the wind blew away the chaff. You'll find no place for any of these empires in the kingdom, the visible kingdom that will fill the earth. He said, "You are, Nebuchadnezzar, this king of gold. After you, there'll arise another one that's inferior to you." The silver is inferior to the gold. The metals go down in value, and the kingdoms go down in their scope, in their power. And so the first one, Babylon, gold. Medo-Persian, silver arms. And the fourth, then the third kingdom of copper, that's the Grecian. It shall rule over all the earth, Alexander the Great. The fourth shall be as strong as iron, that is the Roman Empire. And then there will come, the Roman Empire has two parts. It has a western leg, it has an eastern leg. And out from the feet of the Roman Empire comes an empire with many heads, many toes, 10 toes, iron and clay, weak and strong. And at the time of this, in the time of those kings, which I believe is the European Union, old Rome revived, verse 44, "In the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed." In the days, I believe the Antichrist will operate off the platform of the European Union. And in the days of that multiple-headed kingdom, a stone cut up without hands, no man did it. God, it's God himself, and it's his kingdom. We're not going to make a utopia and hand it over to Jesus. God strikes those kings in the toes, and he sets up a kingdom. Jesus sets up a kingdom which goes over all the earth. This is Billy Brim inviting you to call us or contact us and saying shalom, shalom until next time.